Father, we thank you for this day. And now, the moment has come to hear from you the word of God. Lord, open our ears, but most of all, open our hearts, that we might accept you and receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the choir for that beautiful number. Did you listen to the words? That's a strange way to save the world. Now, next Sabbath, I trust that you'll remember, we're going to join together as one. There will be no first service, just the second service. We're going to all come together as the children give us a Christmas program. And they've asked for you, if you come from a native land where you have a different dress, they've asked for you to wear that next week. And so maybe you've served as a missionary in another country and you have a particular garb that you would like to share with us, please wear that next week. And we think that it will be a beautiful service next week. Virgin territory. What is it like to be the first to do something? Maybe you have been the first in your family to attend college or even finish college. Wonder what it would be like to be first. Or maybe you have been the first to serve in the military or a particular branch of the military. I wonder what it would be like to be the first one to join a different church from your family's church. Wonder what that would be like to be the first. I would say in all of these instances that you are entering virgin territory. Well, the story of Christmas is the story of a first. And in fact, when you turn to the book of Matthew, and I invite you to turn to the book of Matthew, if you would, Matthew, the first chapter, and we'll look at the Christmas story, a story of first. It is a story of entering virgin territory. And when we read the Christmas story from the Gospel of St. Matthew, and I'd like to read for you starting at verse 18. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows." Now you need to realize that Matthew comes from the perspective of how Joseph looks at the story. And the book of Luke deals from Mary's perspective. So we're going to read Joseph's perspective. "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the what, everybody? You're a little weak. Let me go back again. Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was found with child of the what, everybody? Oh, now that sounds better. You sound awake out there. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what, everybody? The Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, everybody, 'God with us.'" Now, this Bible in this chapter of St. Matthew speaks from Joseph's perspective. Joseph is the forgotten person of Christmas. Are there any carols that speak about Joseph? If there is, I just don't remember it. Joseph is the forgotten man of Christmas. And I was intrigued to find out, when you really look closely, and I asked in the first service, and I'll ask you to share with me in case I've missed it. Do you know there is no direct quote of Joseph? He says not a word in all of the scriptures. I was surprised by that. Maybe you've seen it. If you've seen it, let me know, because I haven't found it yet. And I looked real hard. It said Joseph thought, but he has not said a word. And that makes it even more remarkable that Joseph would enter virgin territory. He would be the first when the angel, listen here, your wife having a baby by the Holy Spirit, and you don't even say a word. What a faith. And what a smart man. That makes the story of Christmas a remarkable story of faith. Joseph entered virgin territory, someplace where no one else had been before. Now in the Gospel of St. Luke, the scripture that was so well read, if you turn to the first chapter of St. Luke, it speaks from Mary's perspective. Luke, the first chapter, and Pastor spoke on it last week, and I dare to try it again. But Luke, the first chapter, and I'll start at verse 28. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, what, everybody? "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said, now Mary had something to say. And if you'll read on, you'll find that she does talk. And Mary said, "How can this be, seeing since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." Mary is entering virgin territory. This is the first. No other story like it. One thing I can tell you, when you are the first, when you enter into virgin territory, you are on your own. What did I say, everybody? You are on your own. No one else will be able to judge you for the validity of your experience, because it's never happened before. And even measuring against the scriptures even requires great faith in this story. For Christmas to happen, you must give away everything that's conventional. Anything that you've ever believed about something, when you get to Christmas, you get new paradigms.
Tell
tell me, for those of you who've come from a different faith background to become Seventh-day Adventists, let me see your hand. Any of you fall into that category? Raise your hand. I want everybody to see. Let me commend you. Thank you. What a faith that takes. When someone told you that the Sabbath was from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. I mean, that's a whole new perspective. I mean, you're entering in virgin territory. And imagine making a change and coming to this church after that. I commend you. What a faith. Well, Mary is embarking on something greater than that. You're going to have a child via the Holy Spirit. And you know, this, you know, there are times when God has to intervene. The things that he's dealing with us, God had to send an angel to make this happen. I mean, there are times when we need confirmation that's from above, without a shadow of a doubt. So God had to send an angel to Joseph and send an angel to Mary. If not, I mean, you can understand them not kind of going along with this. You enter into virgin territory, you are on your own to do something that no one else has done, to be something that no one else is being, to accept something that no one else is accepting. You got to believe. You have to have a belief that is fearless. You have to know that it is truth. Not only are you on your own when you enter virgin territory, but people don't understand first. So you want to be what? So you want to go where? So you want to build what? It's difficult to get people to go along with your ideas when it's never been done. I shared in the first service when I passed it out in Nebraska. I remember it vividly. I'll never forget it. As a young pastor, I went to the conference committee and the president of the conference and shared with them the idea that I wanted to build a church in 2 weeks. And they all broke out and laughed in my face. I'll never forget it. You know about Maranatha. They do build churches in 2 weeks. But it just happened in the regional conference. They were not familiar with Maranatha. They do build churches in 2 weeks. I wish you could have been there the Sabbath when our church opened with the air condition running, seats 200 people, beautiful church in 2 weeks. I wish you could have seen his face. I'll never forget it. How can you go along with the idea of Christmas? How can you go along with the idea of something that's a first? We know God is not so interested in our skills or our abilities or our gifts. But you know what really matters to God? Our love and our trust of Him. That's what really matters. Everything else is limited, but not our love. Mary loved God so much that she was willing to make her life a sanctuary and allow God to put in her the Son of God. And so God used her to deliver Christ so that Christ could deliver us. You know, I pray sometimes that at Christmas time, and I, do you see what has been done? That is evidence of your care and love and concern. But my prayer is not just that. It is not enough to do something. But I pray that at this holiday season, we would be something. Oh, you missed that. That we would be something special. That you would touch a life. That you would be a dwelling place for God. God in you, that you would touch someone with God this holiday season. I've always been intrigued about why we have accepted such a story. You see, Christmas is virgin territory. Christmas is an account something that had never been done. So why do we accept such a story? Why do we embrace Christmas? This is a story, and some of you might say that it is being ridiculed, that should be ridiculed even more. But it's not. I believe, this is my personal belief, I can't back this up, but I believe it's true. I believe it's because of Mary. I believe that the story of Christmas has stayed alive because it's a story that deals with birth and life. And women know how to keep the story alive. Because they know about birth. Because they, every single moment, even right now while we're here, There are babies being born. The miracle happens every moment on this planet. And I challenge you to watch a baby being born and tell me that's not a miracle. And women experience that. They know that Christmas is about the impossible being possible. Virgin territory happens every day in hospitals, birthing rooms around the world. And every mother dreams about that newborn baby being something special. They do. And so I believe that story is kept alive. God, you know, God is wise. I couldn't have come up with a plan like that. Only God could come up with that plan. But you know, there's also something about the new birth that's virgin territory. When we give our hearts to Christ, we're doing something that we've never done before. And that's why it's not as easy as we think to decide that you are going to give yourself away to a God you have never seen. That's virgin territory. Why do we accept such an idea? Think about it. It makes no sense. Why would I devote my life to Jesus? I can make more money doing something else. I could use my mind for other things. I'm not being a preacher because that's all I can do. Why would I do that? Makes no sense. Why would I give my life to Him totally? Well, let me tell you something else about entering virgin territory. You're on your own, and people won't understand, especially when it's a first. But we do it out of love for God anyhow, and we trust him and we follow him. But when we enter virgin territory, let me tell you, there are some times when we enter into the new birth, it could cost you your life. I wish I could tell you that when you accept the new birth, that everything is going to be all right. And everything is going to be fine. And the church is made up of the greatest people with no mistakes. I wish I could tell you that. When you enter into virgin territory, it could cost you your life. November the 25th, the Kim family began a drive home to San Francisco after spending Thanksgiving vacation in Oregon. And while driving, the Kims missed their turn and found themselves stranded on one of Oregon's most treacherous mountain roads. A road that is rarely plowed in the winter at all. And they were driving on this road and the snow was coming down. In fact, it was coming down so hard till the father had to open up his door and look out the side in order to get down the road. Some of you have been in snow. I've been in Michigan. I've been in snow like that. Well, your windshield wipers don't matter. Nothing works, so you have to peep your head out the door. This is the way it was snowing. And they got stuck in that snow on that mountain road. The Kims, the wife and the two children, 7-month-old and a 4-year-old. And they ran out of gas. They burned the gas as long as they could, ran out of gas. And so they decided to burn the spare tire in order to keep warm. And that spare tire burned up. They decided to get all the rest of them, the other 4 tires. They burnt them up. And that wasn't enough. They had run out of the baby food and crackers. They spent 9 days. Y'all missed that. 9 days. You'd think somebody would come by in 9 days, wouldn't you? That's in Oregon. So, James decided that he would set out to try and find help. And this is what it had to say about James. You know the story. You know they found him, and he did not make it. This is what the rescuers had to say. They said that it seemed superhuman to me that he was able to cover the amount of distance. We spent hours down there and made very little distance. The conditions were very rough. The terrain is rugged. And just spending one day out there is very exhausting. James traveled over 16 miles. Now, I spent half of my time with Marines serving in the military as a chaplain. And when we took cold weather training, it's another training I'll never forget. They always tell you, never leave where you are. Now, I know we hear other stuff and you think it's okay to journey out. Let me just, this is not about the sermon, but this is about training. Do not leave where you are. In fact, we were instructed never to go by ourselves anywhere. We always had somebody with us. And even at that, you had to tell individuals where you were going. So just remember that. That's just a survival tip. Why would James enter into virgin territory? Somebody answer that for me. Yeah, I've heard a lot. Love for his family. That's the reason he ventured out. Why would God leave heaven?
y'all get that?
Why would God leave heaven to come down to virgin territory? I mean, it's dangerous, and it's cold, and it's rugged. Why would God do such a thing? Betsy, why would he do that? Why would God do that? Because he loves. Benny, why would God do that? Pam, why would God do that? Kayla, why would God do that? Nancy, why would God do that? If I went all around it, all y'all would come up with the same answer. So I'm going to stop. But I want you to think about it. How much God loves you. You see, he came down on this earth when it was at the worst time. We were acting like fools. We deserve death. And God says, I'm coming down here and I'm going to die for you. Any of you doubt God's love? You shouldn't doubt God's love. Isn't that the kind of God you can give your life to? Well, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to enter into virgin territory. I'm going to ask you to go someplace where some of you have not gone. See, this is not enough just to preach this and just stand and go on home. This would be a disservice if I did not ask anyone here who has not given their heart to Jesus to accept that kind of God. God would hold me accountable if I didn't ask you to accept him. So I'm going to ask you now, if you've already accepted Jesus in your heart, you do not have to raise your hand. I'm telling you, where I am in ministry, I'm not worried about you raising your hand to make me feel good. I know how to feel good, all right? But I really want you to know the God that I know. If you haven't, you should not leave here today without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there a man, woman, boy, or girl here today that has not done it before? You've not raised your hand and said, yes, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I want you to say right now, if you've not said that, I want you to say, I'm asking you to do something difficult to give your heart to him. Raise your hand. If you've not done it, you want to do it. Thank you. Thank you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see the hands there. Thank you. I see your hand. And the angel sees your hand. You'll never regret giving your heart to Jesus. Never regret it at all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are a wonderful, loving God. There is none like you. We've never met anyone like you. Willing to die. When we are not at our best, when we're at our worst. Lord, we thank you for the hands that have raised. What a journey of faith they have taken. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you mean to us. Thank you for coming into us. Bless us, heal us, restore us, in Jesus' name, amen.